In Love with the World by Yonge Minjer Rinpoche with Helen Torkoff. Read for you by Fyodor Chin. Prologue, June 11th, 2011. I finished writing the letter. It was past 10 o'clock on a hot night in Bodh Gaya in north central India, and right now, no one else knew. I placed the letter on a low wooden table in front of the chair that I often sat on. It would be discovered sometime the following afternoon. There was nothing left to do. I turned off the lights and pushed back the curtain. Outside, it was pitch black, with no sign of activity, just as I had anticipated. By 10:30, I began pacing in the dark and checking my watch. 20 minutes later, I picked up my backpack and left the room, locking the door behind me. In the dark, I tiptoed downstairs to the foyer. At night, a heavy metal bolt secures two thick wooden doors from the inside. Narrow rectangular push-out windows parallel each door and are almost as long. I waited for the watchman to pass. Once I calculated that he was the farthest from the front door, I opened a window and stepped out onto the small marble porch. I closed the window, flew down the 6 steps to the brick walkway, and quickly moved behind the bushes to the left. A high metal fence surrounds the compound. The side gate on the alley stays open during the day, but at night it's locked and a guard sits nearby. The front gate is rarely used. High and wide, it opens onto a bypass that connects the main roads that run parallel to each other. The two metal panels of the gate are secured by a heavy chain and a large padlock. To leave without being noticed, I would have to stay out of the watchman's sight for his next round. I waited in the bushes for him to pass, once again calculated his distance, and ran the 100 feet to the main gate. I threw my backpack over the gate, aiming for the grassy area to the side of the blacktop so that it would land quietly. Besides, my father had always told me, "When you're on a journey and you come to a wall, always throw your pack over first, because then you will be sure to follow." I unlocked the padlock, pushed back the gate, and slipped through. My heart burst with fear and exhilaration. The darkness of night seemed to light up and absorb all my thoughts, leaving just the shocking sensation of being on the other side of the fence, in the dead of night, alone outside in the world for the first time in my adult life. I had to force myself to move. I reached around through the bars to close the padlock, then I picked up my pack and hid on the side of the road. 2 minutes before 11, and I was in between one life and the next. My breath thundered in my ears. My stomach tightened. I could hardly believe that so far the scheme had worked perfectly. My senses intensified and seemed to extend far beyond my conceptual mind. The world suddenly became luminous, and I felt as if I could see for miles, but I could not see the taxi. Where is the taxi? It had been ordered for 11 p.m. I stepped out onto the bypass to search for headlights. Despite strategizing like a jailbird, I had shared my plan with no one, and no getaway car was waiting. On the other side of the fence, now behind me, sat Turgar, a Tibetan Buddhist monastery, and I was its prestigious 36-year-old abbot. A year earlier, I had announced my intention to enter an extended retreat. This had not sounded any alarms. 3-year retreats are common in my tradition. However, it was assumed that I would seclude myself in a monastery or a mountain hermitage. In addition to Turgar and Bodh Gaya, I have monasteries in Tibet and Nepal, and meditation centers throughout the world. But no one anywhere had imagined my true intentions. Despite my revered position, or more precisely, because of it, I would not vanish into an institutional or isolated dwelling. I had set my sights on following the ancient tradition of sadhus, the wandering Hindu ascetics, who give up all their belongings to live free of worldly concerns.